This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
In the evening with Lynn, Kelvin and Ayman, and continuing our light and frothy show today. Our last story is about a trade war that is happening right now, and no, not the US-China trade war. We're actually referring to the trade war that has actually been waging between Japan and South Korea since July.
It all started late last year when South Korea's Supreme Court ruled that a number of Japanese companies like Nippon Steel and Mitsubishi Heavy Industries had to compensate a group of South Koreans who were forced laborers during Japan's occupation of the Korean Peninsula. Japan disagreed, saying that all claims were settled by a treaty in 1965.
And then after that, a whole back and forth happened, and finally in July, Japan restricted the export of three materials which are used in smartphone displays and chips to South Korea. And in August, Japan downgraded South Korea's status as a trusted trading partner, and South Korea returned the favor. They downgraded Japan's status as a trading partner.
Right, and this is not coming out of nowhere, right? I mean, this is in relation to, I think, one particular sore point, one particular trigger point that often comes up for South Korea and Japan, mm-hmm. and that is, of course, that the literal war that happened before, the occupation that took place. And I suppose a sense of prevailing, ongoing injustice on one side of, you know, South Korea saying, well, look, there are still all these different survivors of that time period who do not feel sufficiently recompensed. And then on the other side, you have Japan holding tight to the, well, no, I mean, if you wanted something, you should have brought it up much sooner. We signed a treaty. Mm. It's done.
Yeah, I mean, the treaty that they're talking about, the 1965 one, there are different views of how it's seen. On one hand, people see it as, no, it was actually a congratulations, you are independent now payment. Whereas on the other hand, those who support the treaty say that, yeah, we got the money, but we chose to use it for economic development rather than compensation for forced laborers during the war. So this kind of disagreements on how that treaty is perceived is what is being carried on right now today.
And that actually occurred in other avenues as well, right? So right now we're looking at forced laborers mm-hmm. during that occupation period. But this has also come up in the issue of the comfort women, right? Which yeah. is this, again, tremendous pain point between the two countries. Mm. They've had a lot of diplomatic tussles over it. And ongoing too. It's not as if they have successfully resolved it and, you know, it's all done and dusted. But similarly, Korea has said that they, when they received that payment regarding the comfort women, in terms of that compensation, they pushed it back into the economy in order to build schools and roads and such. And so, again, you have a group of people who were hard done by who feel, well, what's happened? You know, what's going on? And I think that also plays into how this is working out politically at home, right, for both yeah. Korea and Japan.
Oh, please go.
Well, I think just right now it's just scary to think about that this is also about to happen, or this is already happening, seeing that Japan and Korea are the world's fourth and fifth largest exporters, respectively. They're also major players in global tech supply chains. So while we're also dealing with the US-China trade war, having another one, it's probably the last thing the global economy needs.
Yeah, I mean, and it also is quite worrying as well that trade wars are the route that countries choose to go to whenever there's a conflict. You can see US-China, obviously, and Japan-South Korea, and also how the EU is restricting palm oil imports. So it will be interesting to see how moving forward this will affect the global economy in general, because in general, when trade wars happen, Malaysia benefits initially because of the whole supply chain, and we are also part of the supply chain. But at one point, do we benefit from it?
Yeah. So we're going to be taking a deeper look into all of this. That's going to be coming your way after this when we speak with Sean Ho, who is an associate research fellow at RSIS. We try to get a little bit more understanding behind the context of this, as well as how it might potentially play out. If you have any thoughts you'd like to share, you can call us 7733-2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, and tweet us at BFM Radio.
BFM 89.9. The Business Station.
It's 7:10 in the evening. You're with Lynn, Kelvin and Ayman, and we're talking about the Japan-South Korea trade war and why that might be something else to keep an eye on. We're all so focused on what's going on with US and China that, well, this one, which is actually equally worrying, has kind of fallen by the wayside a bit. So on the line with us to explore this is Sean Ho, who is an Associate Research Fellow at the S. Rajaratnam School of International Studies. Sean, thank you for joining us. Could you walk us through the relations between South Korea and Japan since that 1965 treaty we were talking about? Because just based on what we were seeing in the news, it doesn't seem like it's been a smooth ride.
Yes. So firstly, Japan and South Korea, you know, from time to time, they always have disputes over their perceptions of history. And in this latest case, as you mentioned, the 2018 South Korean Supreme Court ruling, in which it ruled that Korean citizens during the Japanese colonial era of the Korean Peninsula had, you know, the right to actually get compensation from Japanese companies for their forced labor during the 1930s and 1940s. And when that came out, the Japanese government was obviously very unhappy about it because the Japanese government always maintained the point of view that the 1965 agreement in which Japan and South Korea normalized their bilateral relations, that agreement had covered all the compensation that was supposed to be given to the Korean government as well as the Korean citizens who were, you know, involved in this forced labor. However, the South Korean government, especially under this current progressive administration led by President Moon Jae-in, you know, has a different perception of this situation. And according to the current South Korean government, individual citizens still have the right to claim for compensation. So that was really the key difference that led to the subsequent tit-for-tat action between the two countries and leading to what is currently quite bad bilateral relations between the two.
Who really can decide who's right and who's wrong here?
Of course, there is some avenue for a third party or, you know, international arbitration, but that also requires both countries to be willing to put it up for arbitration. And unfortunately, there is no consensus yet on this very controversial issue.
And how have both economies been affected by the situation?
From the South Korean perspective, when this whole controversial issue came up, there was a big campaign to get South Korean citizens to basically boycott Japanese products, not to travel to Japan for holidays. So obviously this would have had some degree of impact on Japan. On the other hand, for the Japanese, they have also tried to impose export restrictions to South Korea. Basically, the Japanese decided that certain items were not going to be allowed to export to South Korea as easily, and this would have an impact on South Korea's semiconductor manufacturing industry because some of these specific items are required in the manufacturing of, you know, smartphones, displays, etc., etc. And, you know, South Korea is quite big in these industries, not just for the South Korean market, but for the international market as well. So that is something that has also impacted South Korea as well.
And while we're talking about the economy, what impact is this expected to have on the global tech supply chain?
I think it's still quite early days in the larger scheme of things because this has been going on for a couple of months. And obviously when the Japanese first decided to have these export restrictions, the South Koreans had to think of a plan B. They probably have some of these materials that they used to import from Japan in storage. So that will last them for a little bit of time. But after that storage kind of runs out, then they obviously have to get it from somewhere else if Japan continues to deny them the ability to import these materials. So we will actually see the full impact a bit later. And of course, there is always the possibility that South Korea will be able to get some of these materials from other markets as well, although Japan does have the majority share of some of these materials that Korea needs. So it may be a bit tricky to replace it in the full extent. But we will probably see only a few months from now as to the actual impact of all these disputes.
Now, some commentators have brought up the security agreement between South Korea and Japan. Could you walk us through what's at stake here?
Sure. So Japan and South Korea, they have this agreement where they will share military intelligence. This is called the General Security of Military Information Agreement. In short, it's called GSOMNIA. And this is important because in the context of these couple of years where North Korea has been firing missiles, it is important that the information regarding these missiles, the flight path, the distance that they travel is shared between these two countries, because obviously South Korea and Japan are very close to North Korea. However, because of the recent incidents regarding Japan and South Korea, the relationship is no good, and the South Koreans decided not to carry on with this agreement, and this has of course resulted in disappointment as well from both Japan and America, especially Japan, because they see this as a security issue which has nothing to do with the trade issues that are going on separately. So it is going to impact some of the timeliness of the information that was previously shared. And there are even reports coming out from Japan that because of this lack of military information sharing now, Japan is unable to detect some of the trajectories of some of the missile launches from North Korea. So it has had an impact for sure.
Do you think there's an increasing tendency for countries to fall into trade disputes whenever they have disagreements?
I think in the last few years, there is a noticeable trend to resort to using trade as a policy tool to kind of apply pressure on other countries that may not agree with each other on certain issues. So even if it's a dispute, for instance, on history or security issues, there seems to be a trend moving in the direction of countries using their economic tools to pressure other countries to be in line more with what they want. This is not a good sign, because obviously these issues are sometimes unrelated. Security issues are of a different realm to economic issues, and moreover, the economic and logistic networks are already so intertwined in this 21st century. It's really not feasible anymore if people think that they can break free from these international networks due to protectionist measures, etc. It's really important that all the countries work together because it's of mutual benefits, and these trade disputes are quite worrying.
So with all this at stake, do you see a pathway for both countries to move towards a more amicable situation?
I think in the near future, it's going to be quite hard for either of the two countries to reverse any of the positions they have taken over the last few months regarding the trade issue, regarding the military intelligence sharing issue, because the domestic public opinion obviously is very important to both the countries' leaders. And any sign of giving way to the other country would make them lose much support in their own country. It's also something to consider. For example, in South Korea, they will have their parliamentary elections, what they call National Assembly elections, next year in April. So it's going to be another highly contested election. And the government obviously cannot be seen as weak and also backing down on its positions towards Japan, given the context that Japan and South Korea relations and the historical issue are always very sensitive issues in Korean society. So given all these domestic factors and also the way the situation has unfolded, it looks like it's not so likely that things will get back to what it was, in the first half of this year before this latest dispute erupted.
So it sounds like this will go on for quite a while.
Yes, I think it will likely go on for a while, and things may likely get even worse before they get better. And this is obviously no good for the region and for the international community, because we are so interdependent nowadays on trade, and any move to, for example, what Japan is doing to South Korea, it's not going to just affect South Korea, but it's going to affect all the other countries that have links and does trade with South Korea, you know, who are buying Samsung phones, for example. So this is not a good sign.
Sean, thank you so much for speaking with us today. That was Sean Ho, Associate Research Fellow at the S. Rajaratnam School of International Studies, talking to us about the ongoing trade war between Japan and South Korea. If you have any thoughts or questions, you can call us at 7733-2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, and tweet us at BFM Radio. You are listening to the Evening Edition, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my, BFM 89.9, the business station.